That was kind of a tough passage to read, but she did a good job. And we're working on getting the slides up, so I apologize. I know that we usually have those on the screen where we're working on getting those up. But I don't know if you heard that two times in what Charlie read, Paul says, remember, remember, remember. And then verse 13, I want you to keep your Bibles open. In verse 13, he says, but now in Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus. In fact, that's the first point I want you to write down. Remember, without Jesus, I was lost. We got to start right there. Without Jesus, I was lost. Without Jesus, I was far away. You know, in this part of the letter, Paul wants his Ephesian friends and us to start by remembering how it felt to be an outsider. How did it feel to be lost? How did it feel to be excluded? You might say, Pastor, why? I don't want to think about that time when I felt like I was lost. I don't want to think about that time I felt like I was on the outside looking in. I want to forget about that. I want to forget about being a ninth grader. Paul says you've got to begin. You've got to remember that so you can remember how great it is now what Jesus has done for you. And so Paul encourages us to think about that, not to stay there, not to dwell there, but think about what it was like before you knew the Lord. Think about what it was like before you knew Jesus. You know, I think about this. Every story has that part where the hero is in trouble. You know, every Star Wars movie, that's the whole drama, is Luke Skywalker is in trouble, right? And all the good guys are in trouble, and Darth Vader's coming. I don't keep up with all that, but I know, you know, kind of the whole idea. You know, the good guys are in trouble, and every movie kind of begins with that. And so that's why it's so great at the end when they win. And that's kind of what Paul's telling us to do here. Think about how it was before you knew the Lord. So now that you think about what he's done, it's just that much sweeter. Remember, before Jesus, I was lost. We've got to remind ourselves of that. Sometimes we've been in church too long. We think, well, I've always known the Lord, and I've always loved the Lord, and I've always walked with him. Listen, that's not true. All of us need to make a commitment to know and to follow and love Jesus. It doesn't matter who your parents were. It doesn't matter who your grandparents were. It doesn't matter how many Royal Ranger badges you've won. If you haven't accepted Jesus for yourself, you're still lost. We've got to make that decision. We've got to make that choice. And so Paul begins with that by saying, listen, remember, without him, you were lost. And so again, your Bible is hopefully still open. Look again at verse 12. He kind of reminds us what that was like. We were separate from Christ. We were excluded from the citizenship in Israel. We were foreigners to the covenants of the promise. Listen, without hope and without God in the world. Wow, that's pretty dramatic. How much worse could it get without hope and without God in the world? But then verse 13, but now in Christ, we're all sinners that need a Savior. And so Paul begins by saying, remember, you were that way, but now look at where you are because of Jesus. And the good news of Christmas, we can still talk about Christmas, can't we? The good news about Christmas is that I may have been lost, but because Jesus came, I can know him and my life can be different. Amen. So if your Bibles are still open, I want to read some more verses there, verse 14 through 22. And we're going to try to get it on the screen as well. But if not, look at your Bible. Let me read the rest of our text. It says, for he, Jesus himself, is our peace. Listen to what Jesus has done for us. Who has made the two one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with his commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, verse 19, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Wow. There's some good stuff there, and I want to try my best to give us some of the main points there. But this is a great Christmas text. Even though you say, Pastor, how can it's not about Christmas? There's no angels or shepherds or wise men or Mary or Joseph or baby Jesus. Maybe not. But this text talks to us about why did Jesus come to the earth? Why did he come? And what did he do? What did he accomplish when he came? And so I want you to strap on your seatbelts here with me this morning. I'm gonna kind of go through this passage. It's a great, encouraging, instructing passage for us. And I want you to write this down. Point number A there. Jesus came, number one, to destroy the barrier between people. There we go. Thanks for the tech crew getting that up. This destroy the barrier between people. Again, verse 14. He himself is our peace, who has made the two one and destroyed the barrier. Say that with me. Destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Now think about that. We live in a world that's full of barriers. And you don't have to think long before you can start to name them. We have political barriers, and we have racial barriers, and we have economic barriers, and we've got language barriers and gender barriers, and on it goes. If we wanted to, we could divide ourselves in a lot of different ways and say, you look different than me, you speak a different language than I do, you have more money than I do, whatever we want to say, you're a different, I'm a male, you're a female. All these ways we could divide ourselves. But listen, when Jesus created the church, he came to destroy the barrier between people. Aren't you thankful for that? It says it's the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. It wasn't just a wall, it was a wall of hostility. A wall can say, well, you go your way, I'll go mine, we can still be friends. No, a dividing wall of hostility. These other sides hated each other. And so there's an illustration for this from Paul's day, and that was the temple. If you think about Jerusalem, they would go and worship in the temple. And that's where the presence of God was. That's where they would go, different feasts, and they would go and worship. And this was, I've asked for five volunteers. So you five volunteers, come on up real quick. You know who you are. I heard it's five girls. So I've got five girls helping me. Come on up. This is your time. You know who you are, hopefully. Five girls, come on up. All right. And as they're coming, let me, again, give you some background. In Paul's day, they wouldn't just walk into a room like this and worship together. Come stand right up here. All right. I got four. I need, five. All right. I can count to five. I've got five. Okay, good. In Paul's day, they would worship in the temple. And it wasn't like today where you just kind of come in and take a seat. I mean, you all picked a seat, and we don't have different barriers or different places for you to sit. And so when Paul talks about this idea of breaking barriers, it was a real deal to them, okay? Because there was barriers, there were certain places you could and could not go. And I'm going to use these five young ladies to illustrate this for me. So I want you to tell everybody your name.
My name is Tatiana.
Robin.
Nicole.
Charlie.
Let's give them all a great big hand. All right. So there was the first place was called the Holy of Holies, okay? And so you're going to be in the Holy. And did you know that the Holy of Holies is the drum set? Come on, you didn't know. So come up here and stand in the drum set, by the drum set. And those of you that don't like the drums, I want you to know that that's the Holy of Holies. So just, it's in the Bible, okay? And you did not know our drummers are just, you know, represent the presence of the Lord, okay? So the Holy of Holies could only be gone into one time a year by the high priest, and only after he had done ceremonies to cleanse himself. It was a very, very special place. The second place that only priests could go was called the court of the priest, which was the stage. So you are going to be on this. You don't even have to move. You could just stand right here. Okay, because this is the stage, and this is a place that only priests could go up here on the stage. Okay, so Nicole, you are going to go in what we call just the regular, let me look at my notes, make sure I get it right. Yeah, the court of Israel, okay? And so come down here and stand like halfway, go stand by Alan, okay? Stand halfway down the aisle there. And that meant that if you were a Jewish man, you could go and stand where Alan is and where Nicole is, where all of us are sitting. So if you were a Jewish man, you could come into this part of the room. So far, so good, right? Barriers all over. Now, I'm going to ask you, Charlie, to go out in the lobby. Okay? I'm sorry. Because Charlie is going to represent, listen, the court of women. Only Jewish women could come in that far. Okay? Now, I'm sorry. That's the way they did it. I'm not saying it's the right way to do it. And so as people came in, if you're a woman, you had to stop in the lobby. If you're a Jewish man, you could go where Nicole was. If you're a priest, you could come this far. If you were the high priest, you'd go into the Holy of Holies. Barriers all over. Now, I'm sorry, I've got bad news for you. Because if you were a Gentile, you couldn't come in the lobby, you couldn't come in the sanctuary, you certainly couldn't come on the stage, you couldn't go in the drum kit for sure. You had to wait out in the parking lot. And not only the parking lot, I'm talking about the youth center parking lot, okay? So I want you to go and walk and stand out on Stockton Boulevard, okay? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You can go ahead, just go have a seat, okay? In fact, you all can go have a seat. Okay, you guys, good job. So there were barriers. Oh, good, Charlie came back in. Good. There were barriers everywhere. And if you were a Gentile, remember, a Gentile, you would have to stay out in the parking lot, and you couldn't just kind of wander in. There were signs that would say, listen, we have signs that say trespassers will be prosecuted. They had signs that said trespassers will be executed. If you're a Gentile and tried to come in, tried to cross the barrier, tried to go into the wall as a Gentile, you'd be killed. How do you think that's pretty serious? That's kind of a big deal. It's kind of a serious line you're not going to want to cross. And so when Paul talks about when Jesus came and established his church and removed the barriers, it was a big deal. How would you feel this morning if as you walked up to the front doors of South Point, there was a sign that said, men only, Gentiles only, no, you know, black people only, white people only, no Filipinos, whatever the sign would say, how would you would just say, what's going on? This isn't right. That's not what the church is all about. Because when Jesus established his church, he came to remove the barriers. Aren't you thankful for that? And for us, sometimes we read that and think, well, it's not that big of a deal. It was a huge deal. Letter B, Jesus also came to abolish the law. Verse 15, by abolishing in his flesh with its commandments, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. The good news is this, the law of Moses is no longer binding upon us. We do not obtain salvation by keeping the law, by following all the rules of the book. You know why? Because the purpose of the law is to point out that we can't keep it. The purpose of the law was to show us that we are sinners. The purpose of the Ten Commandments was to show us that we can't keep the Ten Commandments. And so Jesus came and kept them perfectly and completely, and our salvation is based on the fact that we accept what Jesus has done on my account. Now, I'm not saying that we just throw out the Ten Commandments. Of course not. But I'm saying that that's not the basis for our salvation anymore. The basis of my salvation is what Jesus has done for me on the cross. And so Jesus came to abolish the law and say, you know what? You can't keep it anyway. I'm going to show you a better way. I'm going to show you the way to the Father. That's why this morning when you came to church, you didn't bring an animal with you. You didn't bring a lamb or a goat to sacrifice. If you did, stay out in the court of Gentiles, okay? Don't bring it here. Because we don't worship God that way, because Jesus is the once and for all sacrifice. Letter C, Jesus came to establish his church. Oh boy, this is good right here. He came to establish his church. Verse 15, his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in his one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. Wow. Now, if you're a Bible reader at all, you know that the Jews and the Gentiles hated each other. They hated each other. It wasn't just they disagreed. They hated each other. In fact, Jews would say that Gentiles were created by God just to be fuel for the fires of hell. That God loved only Israel and not the Gentiles. It was even not even lawful for a Jewish person to help a Gentile woman in childbirth, because that was just bringing another Gentile into the world. How heartless is that? How hateful is that? But that's the world that they lived in. And so if a Jew married a Gentile, the family of the Jewish family they wouldn't have a wedding celebration, they have a funeral, because our son or our daughter is now dead because they married a Gentile. They're dead to us. Just an amazing amount of hatred here. So think about this with me. Okay, Jesus comes to establish a church, to preach the gospel to everybody. How does he get the Jews and the Gentiles in one room? And how does he get them to love each other and to serve together and to become the church that he had in mind? It's very simply this. In the church, he is one new man out of the two, reconciling both of them to God through the cross. That's what the Bible says. So Jesus didn't say, okay, all you Gentiles, If you want to become a part of the church, you be Jews. Okay, so start being Jews, then you can be a part of the church. No. He said, you know what? We're going to do a whole new thing. We're going to throw it all out. There's no more Jews. There's no more Gentiles. There's only now the people of God, the family of God, the church, and all that stuff goes out the window. He didn't say, Jews, you become Gentiles, or Gentiles, you become Jews. No, what does the word say? It says, he created one new man out of the two. In other words, he said, all that stuff doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter anymore at all. I'm going to bring everyone together in a whole new family, in a whole new way of interacting. All that stuff, leave out in the parking lot, because you know what? It doesn't matter anymore. You see, the church, I don't think we understand this very often. The church is something new in all of history. It's unique, the fact that people come in from every racial background and every economic background and every language and every nation and every tongue and every tribe, and we've got one thing in common, and that's that we love Jesus. And guess what? Everything else doesn't really matter, does it? Nothing else. I don't know if you had the chance to travel very much around the world. I've had the privilege of going to a few different places and worshiping. Even if you've been there, even if you don't know the language, you've got that commonality with people who love the Lord. And you could be sitting in a church in Thailand or in Indonesia or China or wherever you are, and even though you can't understand, there's the presence of the Lord that binds us together because Jesus is there. Barriers are removed. Rituals are abolished. There's nothing like it in the world. The church of Jesus Christ. You see, let me say it one more time. There's no dividing lines in the church. There's a couple of scriptures. I'll put them up on the screen for you here. They both say the same thing. Colossians 3:11, here being in the church, there is no Greek or Jew, Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Amen. Galatians 3, Paul wrote this, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. When the church is really the church, we don't have barriers between us. I would hope that at South Point we would say, you know what, there's no black or white, there's not male or female, there's not rich or poor, there's not this language or that language, but it's all about Jesus. Amen? That's what we sang about this morning. It's all about you. And when the church is really working like it should, we feel that and we sense that. You know, it doesn't matter how much money I make. It doesn't matter what kind of car I drive. It doesn't matter what kind of language I speak. You know what? In this building, in this church, we are all part of the family of God. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. And that's the kind of church I believe we have. You see, here's the good news. The church isn't made up of people just like me. Aren't you thankful for that? Yeah, some of you are afraid to say amen, but go ahead and say it. I'm glad everyone's not just like me. I heard that, Jimmy. And just, it's Jimmy's birthday today, so I'm going to cut him some slack, okay? Happy birthday to Jimmy. Okay. I'm glad not everyone is just like me. I'm glad we have different perspectives and different backgrounds and different ideas. And heaven's going to be like that. Amen. There's not going to be a white heaven and a black heaven. There's not going to be a male and a female. There's not going to be a Jewish and a Gentile. All of God's people are together. All the barriers are removed. You see, write this down. Diversity in the church is a beautiful thing. Diversity in the church. When I say church, I mean little C church, the local church, and also the capital C church, the universal church. Diversity in the church is a beautiful thing. It's a picture of heaven on earth. Listen, and we don't just tolerate people that are different than we are. We celebrate people that are different than we are. Amen. We don't think, again, I wish everyone was just like me. No, I'm glad that you have a different perspective. I'm glad that we don't all look alike or sound alike, you know, because that's a picture of what heaven's going to be like. Jesus came to establish his church, and that's what his church looks like. Letter D, Jesus came to give us access to the Father. Did you hear verse 18? He says, for through him we both, Jew and Gentile, male and female, rich and poor, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. You want to hear some good news this morning? The good news is if you know Jesus, you have direct access to the Father by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm glad you're a part of a church, and I'm glad you have a pastor, and I'm glad all those things are true. But when the rubber hits the road, you don't need to come to your pastor to find Jesus. You have direct access to Jesus by the Holy Spirit. You don't need to even come to this building. Now, it's great to come to this building, and it's great to be a part of a church, but we have access, direct access to the Father by the Holy Spirit because Jesus came. You don't need to bring an animal to sacrifice. You don't need to say some magic words, abracadabra, hocus pocus, say something to get God's attention. The Bible says that through him, Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. There is so much good news in this text, I can't believe it. But don't miss that. You've got access to the Father through the Holy Spirit. You've been given the Holy Spirit. When you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit moves in. And he speaks to you. He'll guide you if you'll listen. He'll direct you. He'll encourage you. He'll protect you. He'll comfort you if you'll allow him to do that. Perhaps a prayer we all need to pray more often is, Holy Spirit, come, minister to me right now. Lord, help me. We don't have to go to a priest. We don't have to run to a building because the Holy Spirit is right there with us. Amen. Now, these are the four reasons why he came, and I know there's probably more, but those are the four I picked out. Let me quickly transition to our closing this morning, and that is point number three. Look at your notes there. So this is why he came. What did Jesus accomplish? When he came, what did he accomplish? Paul closes this section by listing a few amazing things that Jesus has accomplished for us, and he gives us three word pictures. So this morning, I want to give you three word pictures to remind you what Jesus accomplished when he came on Christmas. Verse 19 says this, consequently, because of all that, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Let's break that up a bit, okay? What has Jesus accomplished? Number one, Jesus made us citizens. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. Now, in our world, again, in the news, we hear a lot about political refugees and foreigners and aliens and these kind of words, and we're all aware of what that's about. But it's a huge difference between being a refugee and being a citizen. As a citizen, you've got rights, right? And here in America, we love to talk about our rights. I've got the right. Well, you do. You have a right because you are a citizen. And you have a driver's license, or you have a passport, or you have an ID card that identifies you as a citizen. And that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. It's a good thing to have. Amen? When I've traveled overseas, I'm sure glad I've got that passport that tells people that I've got, you know, I'm a citizen of the United States, and I've got, the privileges that go along with that. Citizens have rights. They belong. They are at home somewhere. For us, we're at home, not in America. Our home is the kingdom of God. Now, I love my country. I hope you do, too. I know many of you are citizens, and you've been born here. Some of you moved here as adults or children. And I think it goes without saying, most of us, if not all of us, love this country. We're thankful for it. But you know what? This country is not my home. Heaven is my home. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. I'm thankful for America, but I know there's something beyond this country, a place where I will be at home in the presence of the Lord. We're no longer foreigners and aliens, no place to call home. Again, how awful would it be? And again, it's in our news today, and I'm not going to make any political statements about it, but just think about how awful it would be to travel to another country and not have rights, not have papers, not have the ability to do all the things that we take for granted. It would be a terrible, terrible thing. And Paul says, without Jesus, we're outsiders, we're foreigners, we're aliens, we're refugees. I've had the privilege to travel a few different places on missions trips. I thought about this made me smile. I don't know if it'll make you smile at all, but I had a chance, a couple other pastors, to be in Thailand a few years ago, and talking about the passport. It's so important to keep your passport, right? And I'm always worried about my passport when I'm traveling because I'd hate to lose it. I want to be identified as a citizen of this country. And so we're in Thailand at the airport getting ready to fly home, and one of the guys couldn't find his passport. And we're in line, going to check in our luggage and everything, and he couldn't find his passport. And I'm thinking to myself, I've got my passport. I don't, you know, see you later, buddy. I'm getting on that plane. You know, what am I? Finally, he found his passport. I'm thankful for it. But I went through my mind. What do you do if you're in a country? You lose your passport. What a nightmare. Paul says Jesus came to make us citizens. We belong. Number two, or letter B, Jesus also came to make us family members. He said, not only are you a citizen, you're a family member. You're part of the family of God. We talk about the church, and we want that feeling, hey, this is the family of God. Amen. We belong together. Members of God's household. Now think about what it means to be a family member. To be a family member means you have privileges. You know, Jackie mentioned earlier that our daughters are going to be with us tonight, and I'm looking forward to that. It's a great thing. And a family member just can kind of make themselves at home. And my daughters, when they come to our house, yeah, they open up the refrigerator and they can take whatever they want, you know, and feed themselves. That's cool, right? Now, if I had you over to my house and you started going through my refrigerator, I'd say, okay, that's kind of odd. Okay, but you see, there's difference there because family has privileges. Some of you aren't sure what I'm talking about there, but, you know, it would be kind of odd. Wouldn't it just kind of open up someone's refrigerator? Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. You're welcome. If you're hungry, we'll feed you. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, just that level of comfort. Hey, I belong here. This is my home. I'm a fan. And Paul says when we come to know the Lord, he makes us a part of God's family. We're not guests. We're not strangers. We're a part of the family. And lastly, one more word picture he uses. He says, Jesus made us a temple. He talks about a building, and not the temple we talked about earlier with all the barriers and all the different levels and all the restrictions. No, he said, you are the temple of God. His people now are the temple. Here's what he says. Listen, this is an amazing truth. This building, as much as we love it and appreciate it, is not the temple of God. What is the temple of God is you and I, and when we come together to worship as we are doing now, as we did this morning, that is the presence of the Lord. That's the temple of God. God doesn't live in this building. God lives in us. And when we come together to worship him, we feel his presence, and he speaks to us, and he's here with us, because that's what Paul says, that when we worship together, that is God's temple. Verse 22, a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Jesus said this, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them. Amen. So it's not about the building, it's about the people. And we come together to gather and to worship. We are the temple. We become the temple of God, built on the Old Testament saints, built on the New Testament saints, and a dwelling of the Holy Spirit where Jesus is the cornerstone. Well, let me wrap it up this way. This is the last Sunday of 2018. And as we think about this text and going on into the next year, let me just make two quick observations. Again, as I studied this text, I thought, Lord, this could be a four-part series just from these verses. But let me kind of put a bow on it here for us this morning. Here's what I think God is saying to us. It's there on the bottom of your notes. Number one, we need each other. We need each other. No, not one of us by himself is the church. We need each other. I need people that are different from me, with a different background, with a different perspective, who see things differently than I do, who speak a different language, because our diversity is a good thing. It strengthens us, and that's what heaven is going to look like. And you may say, Pastor, I'm just here. I don't even know a lot of people here. You know what? We still need you, and you still need us. We need the church. We need the church. And the church. You say, well, that's a typo. No, we need the church, small c, the local church. You and I need to be a part of a local church. Amen. You need to be a part. You need to be planted and established in a local church. Now listen, South Point's not the only church in town. And perhaps you say, Pastor, this is the church for me. Well, find a different one. I'll help you find a different one. I'll help you, because I would rather have you plugged in somewhere, being a part of the body of Christ somewhere, than just sitting at home on your couch. Because you need that, and I need that. I need to be a part of the church. You need to be a part of the church. Not only small c, but the capital C, the universal church, all of God's people all around the world at all times in all of history. That's the church. That's the kingdom of God. And in this text, Paul says, listen, you were at one time outside looking in. You were dead, you were without hope and without God in the world. You were a dorky, nerdy ninth grader that just didn't fit in. But now, because of what Jesus has done, you're part of the family. You're a citizen. You're a part of the kingdom, and rejoice in what God has done. And so Paul here in this passage elevates the church. He said the church isn't just something that's optional. Well, if I've got nothing else better going on, maybe I'll go to church. No, Paul says the church is vital. The church is the temple of God in the world. And I want to encourage you this morning. You might say, Pastor, it's your job to do that, to encourage people to get involved. Yeah, it's my job, but way beyond that, I care about you. And I want you to have a great 2019. And if you're going to have a great 2019, you're going to get involved in the church. You're going to recognize the value of the church. You're going to say, Jesus, you died for the church. You established the church. And I need to do my part to make it all that you want it to be. It's getting quiet in here, but that's so true. So let me just close with this. As you think about the next year, think about your attendance. It matters whether you're here or not. You know that? And here's why. Because you never know in advance when God's going to show up in your life. And maybe it's a Sunday that you say, well, I'm going to sleep in, or I've got other things to do. Listen, I'm not saying that everyone's got to be here 52 Sundays a year, because that's probably not possible. But we've got to make sure that we understand the value of gathering together. And too often in this world, we say, well, the sun's out, or I got to do this or do that. Listen, there's value in just being here. Amen. You may not even know what it is, but there's value in that. So what about your attendance? What about your serving? We want everybody to find a place of service. Find something to do. We want to put you to work, because that's what the kingdom of God is all about. That's what makes churches really go. Thirdly, how about your giving? Are you faithful in your giving? Are you faithful in investing your resources in the kingdom of God? And lastly, how about inviting? Are you bringing people with you? Are you spreading the news about South Point? Are you telling people about God and His love for them? I'm so thankful that Jesus established the church. I'm so glad that Jesus said, I'm going to make a people that aren't Jews, they're not Gentiles. I'm going to wipe all that out. I'm going to invite them to be together. And I'm going to establish a church. And I'm going to also make local churches where people are going to gather in communities and in families. And I'm so thankful for that. I hope you are as well. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? So take a moment and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for establishing your church. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us from where we were to where we are. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you didn't leave us outside without hope and without God in this world. Lord, with all the barriers between us and you, Lord, but Lord, you knocked down the barriers. You invited us in. You said, I want you to be a part of the family. I want you to be a citizen. I want you to belong. I want you to be part of my temple. And Father, I pray for each of us this morning that we'd see the value of the church, that we'd see, Lord, how important it is to you. It's not just something that's optional, not just something that's, well, it's hope it happens, but Lord, help us to understand the price you paid to establish the church in the world. And Father, in a moment like this, we want to thank you for what you're doing around the world. Father, sometimes we look at just our local area, we think, well, Lord, the church maybe isn't doing that great, maybe it's not growing like it should. And Lord, there's challenges here, of course. Lord, around the world, as we lift up our eyes and see what you're doing, Lord, the church that's growing all around the world, the people that are getting saved. Lord, the kingdom of God that's growing, Lord, we're so thankful for it. But Father, we're thankful, Lord, that your church includes people of every nation, every tongue, every background, every skin color, every economic background. Thank you, Lord, for the diversity. Thank you, Lord, for the worldwide scope of your church and what you're doing. Father, here at South Point, I pray that 2019 will be a great year for us. A great year, Lord, when we focus on you. Lord, a great year, Lord, as we grow personally and as a church. Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us together today. Thank you for each person that's here. Lord, let them feel your presence. Speak to us, Lord, about our involvement. Lord, whether it's in attendance or serving or giving, or inviting, or maybe something else, Lord, you're speaking to us about. Help us to have ears to hear what you're saying to us. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I'm asking your ushers to come forward at this point, and I trust you've taken a moment to fill out that Connect card and you'll get ready to drop that in. Let me just say something that's perhaps obvious, but let me just say this is the last offering of the year, 2018, and thank you for your faithful giving. I also want to say that sometimes we think, well, the only way to give is on Sunday morning. I want to remind you that you can give through our website. I did that a couple weeks ago. It was wonderful. I just clicked on, you know, the website, and it was even quicker than writing out a check. So if you're online and you want to do it that way, that's a great way. It's the end of the year, and some people say, oh, Pastor, I need to get giving credit for this year. If it's through the website by New Year's Eve at midnight, or if it's postmarked by the 31st, you'll get credit for this year. So if that's important to you, you still have time to do that. But every time we come to the end of the year, I just want to take a moment and say, Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. And we could talk about all the difficulties that we've had this year as a person or as a family. But take a moment and say, Lord, thank you for taking me through this year. Amen. Let's pray that. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for this year. Lord, I know there's been challenges. There's been difficulties for all of us. But Lord, we thank you that you've helped us through. Father, as we receive this offering today, we want to give with a heart of worship. Give with a heart of appreciation. Give, Lord, with a heart, Lord, of thanksgiving for all you've done. Thank you for your faithfulness to South Point this year. Lord, for the way that you provided for us. We pray that you'd help us to finish strong and begin the next year strong as well, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you give.